In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I'm going to assume you're familiar with the sort of a basic human instinct that has been labeled as flight or fight, or fight or flight, depending on how you want to hear that. Are you familiar with that instinct, fight or flight? That's when something hits us so hard we're thinking, I don't know what to do. We're either going to lash out and fight, or we're going to run. And I have to say, I was reminded of that instinct when I read this gospel earlier this week. And as a preacher, I'm saying, run, run away. You don't want to preach on this. And so as I was considering something else to preach on, I received a text message from one of our friends here that reminded me of a story. They had sent me a link about suffering as Christians and what it builds up in you. And I thought, wow, that's good. I understood that article very well, and I sent back, being a Christian isn't for wimps. And then I went back to my work and I went, oh, maybe I'll take a shot at it. So it's difficult to hear, isn't it, what Jesus is doing this morning? The Pharisees have come to test him, and they were being very specific for a reason. And he responds with a very, very hard teaching and a very peculiar response, actually, for a Jewish man. They came to him, some Pharisees came to test him and asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. This is a very peculiar response. Because they were coming to test Jesus on the law. And he knew the law, and then he didn't agree with it. That didn't go over well. And it's a hard subject, isn't it? I personally want Jesus to agree with that law for all the reasons that it would be obvious. But he openly contradicts it. Not only does he contradict, but he teaches apologetically and unwavering that this is not okay. And then he gets sort of to the core of it. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you, when they referenced what Moses said. And we have to think about that, don't we? Sometimes the teachings that Jesus gives us are very difficult. This particular teaching on divorce is very difficult for me to hear because it's something that exists in my life. It was very hard to hear and very hard to understand that Jesus is saying this to me and I don't want to hear it. And then when the Pharisees are there testing him on the law and they say, but Moses wrote that for you all because of your hardness of heart, I have to stop, don't I? And wonder, well, what is this about? What is it Jesus is teaching me that is so hard that I don't even want to hear it? When Jesus is teaching us the things that we like to hear, we are happy as can be, are we not? We want to celebrate that. Jesus loves me. Woohoo! There's a comedian out there, and he says, so what? Jesus loves everybody. But Jesus loves you. He loves you in a way that's very different than maybe what we're used to. We like people to do things we like. We want people to love us in such a way that we feel warm and fuzzy and special. And Jesus comes along from time to time, like today, and we know he loves us, and then he just hits us right in the heart, doesn't he? And he does this in many different ways, but he certainly does that today for many of us, and in such a way that you're just, it really almost sucks the air out of your lungs, doesn't it? And sometimes people outside the church hear things like this and they go, oh, that's terrible. You should never say that to anybody. I suspect there's one or two people right now going, I can't believe he's preaching on this. But brothers and sisters, it's hard, isn't it? Hey, being a Christian isn't for wimps. You know what it requires? Humility. It requires us to actually look at this Jesus that we celebrate all the wonderful things that he says and actually carefully listen to and consider all the difficult things he says. And some things will be more difficult for others than maybe they are for us. But each one of us, if we're truly listening to the Word of God and that which Jesus is teaching in the Gospels, I suspect at some point we had a moment, didn't we? We had one of those wonderful, maybe a little sinful human moments that we often have in life where we discover that maybe something we did made somebody else unhappy. So our first instinct, of course, is let's go find two or three other people who agree with me. That way I'll be right, even though I know perhaps deep down inside I'm wrong. So another part of my life, which I've walked in for many years, we would call that justifying. You're justifying your behavior. So if I can find somebody to agree with me when I'm wrong, I'm suddenly not wrong. We just think different. And that's fine if it works for you. But the one thing it'll never do for you is change your thinking. And one thing for sure it will never do is change your heart. When Jesus is speaking to us in ways that affects the understanding of our heart, we shouldn't justify. We should listen. We should struggle in it because he's going to struggle with you. He wants us to hear him. He loves us so much that he wants us to be better than we are. He has a very high standard for those who follow, doesn't he? And some days it's very hard to reach for. And one thing I know for sure is if you try to do it on your own, it will not only be hard, it will be impossible because you can't do it by yourself. You need his help. He is going to be there to do that. And those things we know, amen? And we're happy about that. Anybody happy about the fact that Jesus is there to help us carry the burden? We're there. Anybody happy about the fact that Jesus says some things sometimes that really cut you to the heart? No? Well, a couple of us are wondering, right? We're wavering. Yeah, I have to say this. I don't like when it happens, but I'm overjoyed when I let him walk me through it. And I'm convicted when I go find two other people to tell me I'm right so I don't have to admit I'm wrong. Jesus gives us a little more insight, doesn't he? Well, in my opinion, and at the moment, that's all that matters because I'm the one with the microphone. He follows this very difficult teaching. Moses did that because you all are so hard-hearted. He had to do something just so we could move together. Couldn't stop you, so he gave you a little bit of an out. Still didn't work. Then he gives the hard teaching. And then it almost feels like our gospel reading moves on to a whole new subject. But we hear that they continue the conversation, and in the midst of it, people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. Well, I think we probably know why he did that, don't we? I mean, this is sort of a relatively common thing here, isn't it? We'll be in the middle of something, and one of our little children will suddenly, I don't know, behave like a little child. Shocking, right? Yeah, I remember well when it first happened to me. It was, I almost passed out, I'm not going to lie, when my granddaughter was living with us, not with us, but near us in Bradenton, two of my two older granddaughters. And I was a priest down in Bradenton, and they started to walk, which is really exciting, right? Until your grandpa standing in front of the church like this preaching, and they just say, oh, grandpa, and there they are. And now you're preaching with a two-year-old hanging on your leg. Beautiful thing, amen? But not to everybody, shockingly. But I thought it was a beautiful thing. Because that two-year-old granddaughter, or probably three at that point, was so at home in the presence of God in worship that when she saw her grandpa, she just went to grandpa, which we have one or two grandpas in here, I think. Yeah. Don't we love that? I mean, what could be better, really? We thought it was being a dad, but we were wrong. It's really about being a grandpa. And we have that opportunity here all the time. Because here we are. And on occasion, our children just sort of take off running. But we got some grandpas and some grandmas here, don't we? They may run to you one day, and you'll remember if your grandchildren are now driving you to church. You will remember when they used to run to you, and we get to have that experience again. But Jesus is saying it for yet another purpose beyond that, too. He says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." He's saying something that has to do with his hard teaching, brothers and sisters. See, the wonderful thing about a little child, now it doesn't last long because we know they get a little older and then they question everything we say, right? But when they're little, we can tell them something and they're like, okay. Even when it's something hard, right? Sometimes something hard happens in our life. Could be many things, maybe a death in the family, maybe a loss of a job, maybe you have to move. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those things happen when you had a little child and you're like, oh, I gotta tell them. And you sit down, you tell this little child this life-changing information and they say, okay, right? And they just wander off, and why would they do that? Well, because they trust you. It's like mom said so, dad said so, it's okay. Their heart is open to the reality that you love them unconditionally, you are going to do only what is best for them, and you are going to get them the most important information about how they can become the best person. Now they can't articulate that yet. But they just trust. Jesus is saying, just trust me. I know you don't like what I just taught you. I know you don't fully understand exactly what I said. And I know you're certainly confused that you came with that these people came to test me on the law and I contradicted the law. I know that's hard. But there will be this teaching, there'll be many more when Jesus is teaching us with his word. And it's going to just cut to the depth of our soul. And we have a choice, just like any other thing in our life. We can run and get other people to agree with us so we know that we can convince ourselves and justify the fact that we are not wrong. Or we can say, okay. And like a little child, turn to our Father, knowing full well that we celebrate all of the love that he pours out on us, knowing that the teaching of Jesus Christ comes from the one who gave his very body and blood for us to be reconciled to God. We can know the unconditional love that we have received and we know we don't deserve, and we can recognize even in the joy of that, we will be able to hear the hard teachings that will come. And why do we have to hear them? Because if we don't, we don't change. And he transforms us to be whom he created us to be. And that only comes, well, I shouldn't say that. For me, that primarily comes when the teaching is hard. And I have to fall on his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Because if I just go and justify my behavior, I don't need his grace. So it's such as these, he says. Such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. So brothers and sisters, as much as we may desire to negotiate, to justify, to ignore, to skip over the hard teachings because you don't want to stand in the middle of the church and preach on it, as much as we really want to do that, the true transformation that comes from knowing the true depth of the love of God often comes in the hard teaching that takes us so deep in our soul. The only response we have is to fall on his mercy. So run to him like a little child. If you can't remember how, keep your eyes open. Somebody will show you before the service is over. And I want to tell you one other story. This may come as a surprise, but people who are priests and becoming priests have a lot of conversations about what we should and shouldn't do. And one of those conversations is around, when should we give a child communion? And there are two theories on that. You probably already know mine. All baptized Christians are welcome to receive communion in the Episcopal Church. And the parent says, if their child's baptized and they want them to receive, I will give them communion. Others will say, I'm not going to do that. They don't understand what they're doing. And to that I would say, do you? I'm a priest, and I still have to wonder, oh my gosh, can my mind and heart really articulate what's happening right now? And to be honest, it can't. I just know it. The very presence of God, shockingly, that is the one time I'm silent. And there was this little girl in my parish down in Bradenton, my first parish, and our rail there is open. And she would come to the rail and she would kneel, which was great, because her head didn't come to the top. So I would get down on the floor on the other side of the rail, and I would kneel on the floor in front of her and give her communion under the rail. And as she was waiting to receive, she would kneel there with her hands, she's holding them tight, and her face is all scrunched up, and she's just waiting. And I'd come by, and the joy I would feel just in seeing her anticipation, and she's like, she just knows. She couldn't tell me, but she knew, and I'd place that host in her hand, and her whole body would just go. Strangely, she was unable to give me an essay on that. But I didn't need one. She knew. That's the God we have. You can trust him with all your brokenness. And you can come to him like a child, and you can receive that peace that will actually transform you in a moment. I know it's true. Not only have I seen it, I've experienced it. So come. Come to Jesus. Leave all your worldly understandings behind. Leave all your concerns. Leave everything behind and come to him. Even when the teaching's hard, and maybe even more especially when his teachings are hard, his mercy is so great. Amen.